Welcome to the CEN Show, a platform where we learn from the world community. I'm your host, Rasaki Mascani. We have Professor Ra here. We got Brother Mashinda coming in. We have Brother E here this evening. And tonight's guest is one of our team members, Brother Thomas. Brother Thomas is always coming on here having excellent topics, very interesting, and he's a real strong member for our organization here at the Community Education Network. So, Brother Thomas, I'm not going to keep talking. I'm going to let you do the talking, and then we're going to come back and get these questions and comments.
Yes, sir.
Welcome, Brother Thomas. Do your thing, brother.
First of all, I'd like to gain permission from Baba Ra to continue expressing this evening.
Yes, you can.
Thank you, sir. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there's no God but Allah, who appeared in the person of Master Abu Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever. I bear witness the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is the exalted Christ, holy apostle, and I further bear witness humble as far cons by and reminder, leadership, and guide in our midst. And I greet all the beautiful brothers here with the green words of peace of assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam.
Today's topic is something that's been on my heart for a while. And you're just going to get a small, very, very small taste of a much more detailed and thorough paper that I'm working on right now. And this all kind of spawned from doing some studies. I've always been a fan of National Geographic's documentaries. And according to the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we're always taught that if you want to really learn about the true nature of man and how he has transgressed, then study nature. Because nature doesn't have a choice. Nature is instinctive. It doesn't have free will. So animals, they submit to the law of nature, which is like self-preservation by any and all means. And they obey this. And there's no conflict when it comes to that. Even when animals prey upon each other, it's all about self-preservation, population growth, maintenance, and the evolution of that species to ensure that its future offspring are stronger than the parents that produced it. There's no gender issues. There's no role issues. Every animal subscribes to their role. And they even go through a very, very strict mating selection process to ensure the preservation of their species and ensure that they are qualified to contribute to the preservation of their species by producing offspring. So in doing so, and observing a National Geographic's documentary on these two fish, the Kobidai and the clownfish, I was able to come to the realization of how ridiculous the transgender argument is. And I'd like to share my findings just a little bit. It's not as extensive, like I said, but I'd like to share my findings with you in hopes for you to consider the validity in it, question it, critique it, and so forth. The title of my presentation is Women Are Not Kobidai and Men Are Not Clownfish. Transgenderism debunked. Now, the images that I have on my slide, it's just really basic. The smaller fish on the top left without the protruding hump on the forehead is the female. The larger fish on the top with the protruding hump is the male. This species of fish, the female, when she gets a certain size, from eating, from consuming, from surviving the wilds of the ocean, she goes into a little cave or cavern, isolates herself for a few weeks, and then she emerges a fully transformed male. Not only does she transform into a fully functional male, she competes with the alpha male that used to impregnate her for authority to impregnate the surrounding females that, or harem that alpha male has secured. And there's no way to tell that fish used to be a female once that transformation takes place. That is very important in the gender transformation process, not the transgender process, transformation. On the bottom, we have a clownfish. The larger clownfish on the left is the female. She is the alpha female. She is always bigger than the alpha male that she bonds with for life. The one that's small on the right is the alpha male that she bonds with for life. Now, if something happens to her, by chance she dies, her former husband begins to consume food at an alarming rate, increasing his size and beginning the gender transformation process. He changes his gender into that of a female, and the litter of fish that they had are all male. Clownfish only produce male offspring. The most vibrant and aggressive male offspring of that litter becomes the newly transformed female's husband for life. And they then mate and begin to produce several schools of males, and that cycle continues. My argument is this. If man and woman are supposed to transfer genders, it would be beyond a psychological awareness. They would biologically change. Nature would have chosen human beings, mammals, to biologically change from male to female or female to male. And the evidence that that transformation was successful would have not only been that the male or the female would have gone physical changes to appear as that newly transformed gender, but what would have really put icing on the cake and what would really encapsulate that whole transformation is both of them would have had a fully functional and operational reproductive organ in that newly transformed gender that as a result of that newly transformed gender process. The gonad of the male would have shrunk and he would have been able to develop ovaries that would have been able to be fertilized. His male gonads would have been obsolete and they would have shrunk inside of them into a recessive dormant state. The female's feminine gonads would have also deteriorated and started to grow testicles and would have began to produce sperm so that now male used to be female would be able to fertilize and impregnate a female. And both male and female would not look like, function, or fulfill any of the former roles that they fulfilled prior to that transformation. That is my argument of the mediocrity of the transgenderism argument. Nature has not selected us to do so. And we'll get into the reason why nature hasn't selected us to do so a little bit later in this presentation, as we conclude in the presentation. So here we go. I'd like to begin by talking about, like, what is gender? And how does nature determine gender? Well, gender are the biological male and or female classifications assigned to living organisms at birth. Gender assignments are based upon the respective roles that either male or female play in the reproductive process. It has nothing to do with decision. Oh my God, I'm a male in a female's body. I'm a female in a male's body. The question that we need to be asking anybody that thinks like that or says that is, what kind of reproductive organ do you have? And is it functional? Does it operate in accordance to the purpose that the reproductive organ was created to operate and function? That will determine what gender and gender roles you fulfill, regardless of how you think, regardless of your imagination. The body releases hormones to facilitate that reproductive organ or gonad. The female, her body goes through major hormonal changes as her reproductive organ matures. A male goes through major hormonal changes as his reproductive organs mature as well. Just to kind of be a little graphic, a male and a female's sexual experience, when the first time their body begins to change sexually, and I don't know what a female goes through, but I do know as a man, when my body matured, I went to sleep and I had a dream and I woke up and there were remnants of that dream there. As a male, I don't know what a woman goes through when she matures. And there's no way for us to know. That's specifically her experience, no matter how I feel about being a woman. And my experience is mine, no matter how much she feels like being a man. Gender is not determined by one's own decision to psychologically identify as a particular gender. It is, however, determined by the natural reproductive organ assignment and the complementary biological role that one plays in the mating and birthing of offspring, coupled with the nutritional feeding and rearing of said offspring as well. Does anybody have any questions about that slide? Does it make sense? May I continue? Anybody have any questions about this slide? I definitely want to make sure that the information is understood so that I can continue without any without any concerns, any lack of understanding. How are we doing? Brother
Thomas, let me go through the panel to see so far. All right.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Professor Ra, any question or comment yet?
Just a couple.
Okay.
Appreciate what you have presented, if I understand it correctly. Are you saying that today transgender people and today male to male and female to female relationships are not natural?
Correct.
All right. Second, when you make this perspective, why do they define themselves as natural?
I feel that when you anyone that would like to justify something that they enjoy doing, whether it's deciding whether you are a male in a female's body or a female in a male's body, or whether you like alcohol profusely, drugs, strip clubs, they'll justify their behavior. And they'll and unfortunately, we are in a society that where the government has taken the position to facilitate a justification that, if practiced in mass, will render our species extinct.
Are you saying that when some brothers or some people, regardless of their race, rape same-sex people, that's not natural?
You mean rape like as an assault?
Like rape, like in prison, rape like at a party and
correct.
Give them a drug or something.
Correct. That's not natural. The prison is an unnatural circumstance where sexually mature males are forced into a isolated, packed, saturated, limited space type environment with no female to express their natural desires to mate with the opposite gender. They're also given drugs, highly estrogenic, and other kind of chemicals that also tend to induce hypersexuality and the lack of control of one's sexual desires as well. Those things are unnatural. Pills at a party, unnatural. It's not natural. So you have an unnatural result.
What I'm saying is that since some studies from an anthropological standpoint say that male-female relationships, male-to-male and female-to-female relationship has been with humans since the beginning of humans. And, and it's through cultural and religious regulations that created the controversy because they wanted people to produce so their communities can grow. Sometimes these gay people, homosexual people or whatever, they're not interested in reproduction. They go out and adopt or something. But they have an emotional attachment to each other. Some of them get married. Some of them be with that person for years. I'm trying to understand when you say a transformation. Some people may go through a transformation, but some people naturally just say, "I like men. I like women." From the beginning. But go ahead. Those are my two.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Professor Ra. Beautiful statements. Well, we live in a society where there are several factors that can contribute towards one being gender dysphoric or gender confused, several factors.
Okay, can you explain dysphoric?
Dysphoric means not accepting, like thinking that your gender is not the correct assignment. Okay. So you suffer from the desire to be other than the gender you were assigned. It was categorized as a mental disorder. Well, we live in a society where there's several factors that contribute towards gender dysphoria. This Western world has spent millions of dollars on experiments that have to do with certain chemicals being introduced in the biological structure of amphibians, mammals that resulted in gender transitioning. Certain chemicals are highly estrogenic, where frogs that were male, their testes shrank, they began to form ovaries, and they began to accept being mounted by other males. Coincidentally, some of these chemicals are the same that are in pesticides. Some of these chemicals are the same that are being introduced into the drinking water. A lot of this is being introduced through fast food, through the containers and plastics that are used on a regular basis. A lot of it is in milk when cows are forced to be estrogenized permanently so they can produce cow milk. When humanity consumes these chemicals, especially when a woman is carrying a child, these chemicals directly affect gender selection process in vivo while the child's inside the womb of a woman. So there's several factors. We also have a factor of Western culture, which for thousands of years practiced, you know, anti-sexual behavior, where males were regularly, you know, entertaining other males in an anti-sexual fashion. Females were doing the same thing. And that culture is what this America has thrived on. You know, we could find the history of slavery where men were buck broken, raped, beaten to a pulp, bound to a log, and raped by local slave owners on other plantations just to break the African so that he would not have the desire to fight against slavery. So this death style, because it's not a lifestyle. Lifestyle results on life. A lifestyle is like breathing. Breathing is a lifestyle. You are taking oxygen and you exhale carbon dioxide because it's giving you life. Drinking water is a lifestyle. Eating food is a lifestyle. Being intimate and mating with a woman is a lifestyle. A man mating with a woman is a lifestyle because a child can be a product of that. Communal masturbation, male on male, female on female, that's not a lifestyle. That is a behavior that does not create life. So that's my response, is society has inherited the lie and has created policies to force people to advocate a practice that, if practiced in mass, will render our species extinct.
Okay, Brother Thomas, let me go to the other folks right quick, and then we'll continue. Brother E?
Yes, sir. I have a question for you. Okay, when it comes to the, you know, us humans, hermaphrodites, okay, they're given a choice. So is that a form of transformation for them, or is that something else, in your opinion?
All right. Certain animals are hermaphroditic. And they're hermaphroditic for the sole purpose of reproducing offspring, maintaining population, securing population growth, and enabling their species to evolve into the future, creating stronger members of their species every generation. For the sole purpose of reproduction, because in certain areas of the ocean, in certain areas, animals do not have regular access to members of their species. So they must be ready to undergo mating process and reproduction, no matter who they meet. So certain snails have both reproductive organs that are operational, slugs as well, And those two will come together, and one, they will intertwine, one using their male gonad to fertilize the female gonad of the other, while at the same time that other one using their male gonad to fertilize the female gonad of the other. So they're fertilizing each other at the same time. And some animals are able to carry the diversified DNA for sperm for years to ensure that their species does not go extinct and will continue to produce offspring from that interaction. It's solely for reproduction. Human beings, mammals, we are not naturally hermaphroditic. If we are, if by some form of mutation, a human being is born with both gonads, male and female, one is inoperable and the other is operable or semi-operable. They are never both operable. It's always one being infertile, unable to function, and the other being operable or semi-operable, because we're not naturally supposed to be hermaphroditic. Now, I mentioned slugs. Some worms are able to have both. But a great majority of the animals that can transition from one gender to the next, it's a full-fledged transition. Some can even go back and forth. But when they go back and forth, that new gender, the gonad is fully functional and operational. The former gonad that they're transitioning from is not operable while they're in the transitional state of the new gender. Some of them, when they make the transition or transformation, it's permanent. Some toggle. Either way it goes, it's all for the sole purpose of maintaining the population growth, preservation, and the evolution of the species. It's a lifestyle. It's a life mechanism. Nature does not want to render any organism extinct. It will do everything that it can take, everything possible to ensure that species has a chance to survive. If that species, no matter what nature does, if that species cannot survive any changes in the environment, predatorial consumption or anything to that nature, then it will render it extinct. But until it has tried everything, and transformation of genders and hermaphroditic behavior, those are extreme methods that nature goes through in an effort to save a species from extinction.
All right.
I hope that answered your question.
Yes, it did.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks for that. Brother Mashinda?
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening, brother.
So basically, I mean, this is a great science lesson. Appreciate your research and sharing it with us as usual. So after getting all this information, you know, because I think it's very enlightening. So how do you, what is your goal, or what is your current goal with this information? I mean, of course, you're educating people on what it is, but say, for instance, folks that are with the transgenders and things like that, people that believe in, you know, that they were born a certain way and things like that, you know, do you think that by them getting educated on this per se, or maybe they are educated, maybe they're not, I don't know. But what I'm saying is, do you think that this would serve as something that would maybe, you know, encourage them to consider, like, to reconsider what they're doing? Or, you know, what is your goal with this information?
So thank you, Brother Mashinda. Awesome question. I'll express it in this way. I had discussions with two people. They both were considered gender binary. That's the person that goes, that likes males and females, and they consider themselves kind of like gender neutral or both or something of that nature. I talked to them about this reality. I don't think, because it's not a theory, this reality about how nature selects certain species to transform to maintain the population growth, preservation, and evolution of the species. And we, you know, it was a pretty good discussion because, you know, a lot of our LGBTQ people, they get very emotional and they try to make it look like you're attacking them in some way, shape, form, or fashion. But when I was like, hey, I'm just stating the, you know, science, and I'm like, why, and I asked them, like, what do you really want to do? What's your real purpose of, you know, if every species is supposed to contribute towards the preservation, maintenance, and population growth of their species so they can evolve, why don't you want to participate in that edict, in that law? You know, you benefited. I asked them, like, you benefited from the reproduction, preservation, maintenance, and evolution of the species. You did not die, and you didn't even want to die. You suckled from the breast. You fight to live, but you don't want to pay it forward. Like, what's the problem? And they were just, you know, after we debated, and after I submitted this information, I finally got them to say, I just don't want to have children. And they were both female. And I was like, then just say that. You know, you don't have to, you know, try to force us to believe that you were born liking to kiss girls or whatever you want to do, binary. You don't want to have children and you want to be okay with that. And you want the world to be okay with that. Now, I'm not saying that's everybody, but when it came down to the discussion, it all went down to the fact that they didn't want to have children. And it sounded kind of feminist movement to me, because they were both feminists. And it sounds like a Caucasian woman just convinced them to carry the banner of rebelling against her man, who traditionally is a rapist, misogynist, chauvinist, that traditionally clubs his woman and drags her on the back of the cave to mate with her. The only freaking organism out of all life that does that to the female, stripping her of the option of selecting him. It sounded like a Caucasian woman convinced them to just like say, I don't want to have children because you men. But the purpose is truth. So they can deal with it what they will. You know what I'm saying? And then hopes that they can learn not to convince other people to try to think like them because they decided not to contribute towards the preservation, population growth, advancement, and evolution of their species. Okay. I pray that it can help them, like, look, it's your decision, but I don't have to, as a person that decides to use my reproductive organs to fulfill my divine purpose of preserving, producing offspring to preserve and maintain and grow the population and evolve my species, that you don't try to convince me and make laws that I got to respect the fact that you don't, and that you made an excuse that your behavior is somewhat natural, you know, opposing your gender, that when nature gave you a fully functional and operational reproductive organ as identified by that gender, only that gender. So it's the truth. I just hope that it can get people to think a little bit before we go, you know, before any of this forced propagation continues.
Well, okay. Brother Mashinda, any other question?
No more questions. Appreciate the feedback. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, before I get to Brother Hembrick, I just want to say two things. Limits are in place for a reason. I think that's natural. I think there are certain lines you don't cross. And then also, I have a saying, man is not far from the cave, which saying that we're very primitive as a whole unit. We already know about what type of condition we're living in right now. But as a whole unit, and I think Neely Fuller put it best, and he said the relationship between people in general is trashy, tacky, and terroristic. And I think that's the case. We are so primitive in our thought process and our mentality where we accept anything, we cross lines we shouldn't cross, and it's just we're very primitive when it comes to life in general. And that's why we have so many issues and we can't get along, because we're too mentally immature or mentally damaged. So that's just something I wanted to say. Okay, Brother Hembrick.
Yeah, I don't really have any questions. You know, it's I don't equate it to nature, but as far as you know, everybody's not looking to reproduce in this scheme. It's my belief that many of them trans, I don't necessarily say transgender, but gay, you know, men with men and women with women, is, you know, to a large degree of, you know, how they got that first orgasm. But, you know, like everybody's having sex and not looking to reproduce. I think a lot of them in the infancy of their life may have experienced something like that. And even on the heterosexual end, you know, it's not, you know, to a reproduced life. It's basically to get that nut, if you will, if I can say that. And that's basically what it is to a large degree. And so wherever you initially got it, you know, it might have been good to you, whether it was male, female, or heterosexually. So that's about my only thought on it. And as far as, you know, propaganda go, the kids are just, everybody in society just bombarded by it these days. But it's nothing new. It's been here long before we were here. It brought down a couple of empires back in, I won't say ancient times, but near ancient times. So this is not a new subject. You know, I know I'm tired of seeing it every time I turn around.
Yes, sir.
There in my face. And I don't like that. But I think the powers that be that control a lot of these entities are trying to get the attention off of them. And putting it on either gay or biracial stuff.
Yes, sir. Teach.
Does it all the time. But anyway, I don't want to give any more breath to it. Madness, and y'all take it and go on with it. All right.
Brother Hembrick. I think you made a great point. People trivialize the act, and it's just strictly pleasure. Now, I know it's pleasurable, but it's strictly pleasure versus being taught wholesome relationships. So I think you made a great point when you said it's all about getting that nut. So that was an excellent point, in my opinion. All right, Brother Thomas.
All right, next slide. So what is gender transformation? Because I want to distinguish it. When a member of an animal species transforms from one gender to the other for the sole purpose of propagating, and reproducing offspring in an effort to maintain the population growth, preservation, survival, and evolution of said species. Once gender transformation is complete, the transformed member fully functions, operates, and fulfills the role as ascribed to the newly transformed gender. A successful transformation is evidenced by a fully functional reproductive organ as assigned to that specific gender. There is no such thing as a successful gender transformation without the transformation of a fully functional reproductive organ, along with respective gender roles being transferred to the new transforming member of the opposite gender. Nature has a criteria. It's not about how you think. It's not about how you feel. It's about what your body does. You can cut off stuff. You can take hormones to grow stuff. You can drill cadavers in your midsection and always have to put some type of a moisturizer down there so it won't clot by nature. And that does not make you the transforming gender that you hope to pursue. There's still factors that are there that classifies you as the former as the gender that you really are as a human being. Your voice, your body, your bone structure. The fact that you gotta constantly prevent the newly drilled cadaver from clotting. All this unnatural stuff. And the fact that the medication causes major side effects that contribute towards suicide and internal organ failure. All those risks, nature has no risks with successful gender transformation. It'll actually prolong the life of the transforming species, and it enables it to produce more offspring in abundance. Produce more offspring in abundance once it transitions from one gender to the next. Kobadai, the reason why I said women are not Kobadai is because, like I stated before, Kobadai is a fish that successfully transitions from female to male. The Kobadai change routinely from female to male. After many months, the transformed male emerges from its lair, larger than before, bearing testes, a huge bulbous forehead, and an aggressive nature, now even larger than the existing dominant male it had previously mated with. When female, the new male defeats that aged alpha male in a violent battle for dominance. The Kobadai are known as sequential hermaphrodites. They can switch sex permanently at a specific point in their lives. Indeed, for many species such as the Kobadai, the capacity to switch sex is highly adaptive. If an individual fish can reproduce as a female for the first portion of its life, then continue breeding as a male for the rest, it effectively doubles up on its reproductive output. Being able to switch sex maximizes the chances of passing on genes if environmental or social circumstances should change. That's another factor in the importance of gender as ascribed by the reproductive organ. Every species, from single-celled organism to the blue whale and everything in between, their nature is to immortalize their DNA through the production of offspring. Human beings, there's only one way we can be immortal. If you produce offspring and your children have offspring and your children's children have offspring, your DNA will permanently remain in the living world. Even regardless of your physical transition, your DNA will maintain its life in this world for as long as your children's 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 children and so forth produce offspring, preserving your DNA strand within every future progeny that is produced. Every species has been given the program to pursue genetic immortality. It's our nature. We live in an era where this is the first time that on a global scale, it's been taught to challenge the life preserving attribute of gender immortality. People don't want to have children and society supports that. People are aborting children, society supports that. People are rendering the reproductive organs obsolete by not using the reproductive organ for the purpose upon which it was created. In other words, two men are masturbating together, not using their reproductive organs properly. Two female are masturbating together and not using their reproductive organs properly. And there's nothing that is spawned from communal masturbation of two same gender individuals. Anybody have any questions about this slide as it relates to the Kobadai before I move on?
I'm not going to go through the whole panel. Anybody?
If anybody has any questions, you can say it right now. You could definitely ask or comment.
Go ahead, Henry.
Since we're dealing with science and all of that, do you believe the fish were living before man?
No, sir.
Well, then you can't give them too much science, because that's what science says. But anyway, just to throw a little curveball into the discussion, there were fish and different other type of reptiles before man. And if this Kobadai fish is doing that back before man, and the way man is going, since they're millions of years older, and the way we are evolving, you think it's any kind of possibility that these things to be coming to pass, like with this Kobadai fish? And I'll leave it at that, but I can tell by expression on your face you don't believe that fish were here before man was.
No, I just answered that. No, sir. So that wouldn't even be a consideration for me. And my validation in that is this is nature, you know, nature does everything it can to preserve a species. It wasn't here before us, but just like us being the apex predator, apex, the greatest of all creations, the strongest of all species, we will adapt by any and all means to preserve our species. If it came down to it, to where there were fewer men and more women, nature will find a way for women to self-gestate, self-fertilize. Nature will do whatever necessary to preserve a species before it decides to render it extinct. But man, being the apex predator and having access to its opposite genders, does not have to render, nature does not have to render it hermaphroditic, gender transforming. We travel by foot, by flight, by swimming. We have easy access to each other. These animals in the ocean, they fall victim to major habitat changes. The vastness of the ocean prevents certain species from even having access to each other on a regular basis. It's highly predatorial in the ocean. We're talking about some fish eat thousands, some not fish, but some animals, mammals, some eat thousands, 10 millions of a certain species all at once. Krill are swallowed in the billions by whales. So certain animals are required to have these abilities to maintain their population growth, to maintain and preserve their population and advance it accordingly so they don't fall victim to extinction. So, no, sir, there's no way that in any of future that we would be, that Kobadai would lay the foundation for humans to have to to be sequentially hermaphroditic or anything to that nature. These animals are doing it for survival. They're doing it because they're also being fished into, you know, vast extinction. The changing habitats as well, the pollutants that are in the ocean as well. There's so much that these marine life go through. Nature is doing whatever it takes to preserve them so that they can adapt to those extreme changes. Anybody else have any questions?
Well, let me just piggyback on that right quick. You know, you're talking to an avid fisherman.
Yes, sir.
And this cobra-eyed fish looks like a sheephead fish to me.
That's what it is. It's Asian sheephead on top. It says Asian sheep's head.
Yeah, we catch those all along the coast of
yes, sir.
California. But anyway, kind of lost my train of thought for a moment. But anyway, I'll probably come back later
and
make a comment. But anyway.
Thank you, big brother. Anybody else?
This is one
thing. Appreciate what's been said, if I understand it correctly. You know, there ain't but two types of people that deal with same sex or deviant sex. And that's them that admit it and them that don't admit it. People, life sometimes provide you living examples of the challenges of driving you to know what you want to be by showing you what you don't want to be. And so you, when you deal with the origin of life from a scientific standpoint, and you study nature, may it be insects, may it be animals, may it be big animals, you know, you find that the human makes love to all of them. You know, they make love to sheep, cows, you understand? I mean, throughout life. That's where venereal disease came from.
Yes, sir.
And so my point is, it's not the transgender, the bisexual, or the those that participate in various sexual activity, from having sex with plastic dolls like they're doing in China. What we have to do is you don't kill them and beat them.
Idle ale.
Because you don't like them. I mean, you know, that's the problem.
Yes, sir.
Because, you know, who are we as humans and they human to tell them what they should be or don't be? I mean, you believe in freedom. If you got the choice to be heterosexual, let them have the choice to do what they got to do. Now, I do believe that the purpose of male-female sex and any form of sex, the whole purpose of reproduction is rewarded with orgasm. And that's why people drive toward it. But science has come in, and you use science, and created birth control, created vasectomy, created things in which sometimes it drives people to be what we call deviant, But I don't call them deviant. I just say, hey, do you know, you digging what you're doing, keep right on doing what you're digging. Because we got bigger fish to fry in our struggle for human development and freedom ourselves.
Did you mean that to be a pun, Brother Rob? Huh? Bigger fish to fry, was that a pun on the Cobra Dye?
No, bigger fish to fry. Bigger fish to fry. I mean, we got bigger problems.
Yes, sir. I was just playing.
Yeah, I know. I know. And so my challenge is that, you know, this is a good subject, good conversation, but the world is round and full of people, and that, you know, there's some societies that kill people that participate in homosexual and things of this nature.
Yes, sir.
There's certain societies that are none but gay people, you know, mm-hmm. like West Hollywood, you know, and things of this nature. I don't go to gay pride, you know, and you know, but some people have to ride in the parade because they vote. The tolerance is different for different people. When you have a child and that child decides to be the same sex person, you don't stop loving your child.
Correct. That's right.
Some parents do. Some parents want to get them deprogrammed. Some parents think it's a devil based on their religion, based upon their concept. Some people kick them out the house, they can't come back, all kind of brutal thing. But that's still your child, you know. It's a struggle, the subject, because before there were organized societies, people were doing all kinds of stuff. You know, and then as you organize into cultural structures, religious structures, that's a part of your cultural structure. There's the purpose of pushing heterosexuality, that's to build the church or build the community. It's a challenge, because even though people said that man and women were put here to rule, but there was a time dinosaurs ruled, and you know, and then things happened, and then the script was rewritten. You know, all of a sudden, men became the biggest threat to all life, even nature. I mean, you know. So my point is that this is a good subject from a standpoint of those that are trying to explain why people do what they do from a sexual standpoint. But at the same time, there are people who are gay and they're with each other and they don't even have sex. You understand? They live, they get married, they don't have no kind of sex. Then they're men, heterosexual. That live with women and don't have sex, but they stay together for years. It's a very complex issue. And that's why I'm like Joe. You know, I let them flow, go ahead, because, you know, to me the struggle is about freedom. And I think they should have the freedom to love who they want to love. And I'm, you know, I mean, without being discriminated against or abused, what we're doing is what you're doing is making it a problem.
Mm.
And I think it's a problem when it produces venereal diseases.
Yes, sir.
You do unnatural acts, like, you know, anal sex, all that type of stuff. Oral sex, all that type of stuff, you know, it's a different game. You understand? So anyway, good conversation, good presentation.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Because I agree. As a member of the Nation of Islam, we're taught that anyone that decides to practice the behavior is a brother or sister. We don't believe in the practice. We have a strong stance against, a strong stance in support of traditional relationships, the preservation of family, the preservation of positive Black male-female relationships. We have a strong stance. And a lot of this behavior is based on trauma. And like I said before, chemical intrusion into the body of a woman while she's carrying a child. I even have an article that says stress while a mother is carrying a child can also interfere with gender selection process. That's why the ghettos were highly violent and highly stress-induced when it came to the living circumstances. They did an experiment that says stress, it really traumatizes the female's body, and then it interferes with testosterone production when the child is a male. That's crazy. So let's continue. The clownfish. And this is why this clownfish is a fish that transitions from male to female. Unlike the cobidae that transitions from female to male, in the clownfish, which is Clark's anemone fish, for example, females are larger than males. They live in small groups within protective sea anemones, with one breeding male and female pair and a number of subordinate non-breeding fish or males. There is seldom more than two breeding fish due simply to space constraints. When the dominant female dies, the largest male transforms into a female. In terms of what's going on biologically in the clownfish, apparently the dominant male has functioning testes and some latent cells that can become ovaries under the right conditions. And once the female dies, the testes in the dominant male degenerate and ovaries form from the latent ovarian cells. Clownfish live in groups where only two members are sexually mature, a large male and a large female. The rest are smaller, sexually immature males. If something happens to the female in the breeding pair, her male mate transforms into a female and selects the next biggest male in the group to become her new partner. In the popular cartoon movie, Finding Nemo, a male anemone fish loses his mate and must struggle alone to raise his offspring Nemo, which is a male, just like the mate that survived was a male, the female died. However, in real life, Nemo's father likely would have switched sexes following his mate's death and then paired with a male, which is Nemo. The father then would have been a female looking for her mate, Nemo, because that was the surviving male, dominant male that survived the attack of the predator. So if the movie was correct, the father would have transformed into a female and she would have been going everywhere looking for her future husband, former son, Nemo. Does anybody have any questions about this slide? That's a trip. I mean, it's a trip, but you see how society is. That cartoon right there, it's a part of the propagation. It was a movie. Hey, I know it was just a movie, but it falsely represented the clownfish if the dominant female died. It didn't represent it adequately because maybe the argument of that transformation would have been a debunking factor in transgenderism. Maybe. I don't know. It sounds like it sounds kind of fishy to me. So here are a list of other animals that can change genders. List of other animals in nature that has select that nature selected to gender for gender transformation for the sole purpose of reproduction of offspring, population growth, preservation, and evolution of the species. Hawkfish, wrasses, sea bass, moray eels, humphead ross, banana slugs, blackfin gobies, parrotfish, cuttlefish, snails, and corals, coral reefs. So like I said before, here's my debunking factor. Nature does not have a problem selecting a species to transform gender successfully if that species is threatened to extinction, if something is not done to preserve it. There are hundreds of species out there that nature has selected to survive the impossible or the extreme environmental changes that is constantly going on our planet. How does nature determine gender in mammals? Nature creates gender distinctions between species for the sole purpose of the reproduction, preservation, population growth, and evolution of the species. Without some form of gender-based reproductive organ distinction, any and all animal species would be rendered extinct. Gender is determined by nature assigning members of a species a specific reproductive organ. Based upon the natural assigned reproductive organ determines the role that the member plays in the mating and reproductive process. This natural gender assignment also determines the role that the member plays within the mating process as well. It determines the role that the member of the species in the selection, mating, and birthing of the offspring, coupled with the nutritional feeding and rearing of said offspring. Therefore, gender is not determined by one's own decision to psychologically identify as a particular gender. Are gender roles a social or biological construct? Biology, reproductive organs, and the role that the male and female play within the reproductive process determine the role that one plays both physically and socially during the birthing, feeding, protecting, and rearing of the offspring. Society merely determines the ability for either male or female to perform and or is able to fulfill their prospective gender roles. That's the only thing society does. It gives you the resources or it keeps the resources away from you as it pertains to the role that you play in the producing, rearing, securing, providing, and maintaining that offspring. Female reproductive organs determine her gender role, not society. The following six female reproductive organs are vagina, fallopian tubes, ovaries, uterus, mammary glands, and placenta, which develops during pregnancy. The male reproductive organs also determine man's gender role. The six male reproductive organs are penis, testes, scrotum, prostate, vas deferens, which is the sperm duct, and urethra. Are gender roles a social or biological construct? Continued. Biological offspring incubation. Women function as the only portal that man has to exist by being endowed by nature to be the vessel to ensure the fertilization, incubation, growth, development, evolution, and birth of offspring. Her role ensures the population growth, maintenance, preservation, and evolution of the species. Biological food producer and nurturer. Women have a life-sustaining quality that enables them to produce colostrum that later becomes milk for the sole purpose of feeding their offspring following delivery. This nurturing process solidifies one of many of their gender roles as a result of their many gender-based reproductive organs. Based upon woman's biological reproductive organs and role that she plays in the birthing and nurturing and feeding offspring, That's why she is the cook in the family. It's not that man can't cook. Woman's nature is to feed her family the best food that will maintain their growth, development, maturation, immunization. She's a biological incubator and food nutrition dispenser. And this feminine movement and Caucasian people are trying to strip the woman of being the doctor in the house. The kitchen is the infirmary, and she is the doctor, counselor. She is the nurse, the comforter, the peacemaker. She is a biological heaven on earth for all of those that exist in her house and all of those that exist in her family that she loves. She has been fashioned to personify the essence of the creator and the nurturer and the life-giving attributes that maintains and guarantees the evolution and the growth, development, preservation, and maintenance of all life. For anybody to say that gender is a social construct is somebody that does not respect the gender that they're trying to pursue. No man has the right or ability to tell a woman that he feels like her because he knows how she feels. And vice versa, no woman has a right to tell a man that she is a man and feels the way a man feels and can represent being a man like him. Our roles are completely different. Our biological structures are completely different. Our reproductive organs are completely different and facilitate the role that we play in not only the reproductive process, but the rearing of children, the maintaining of the household, the security, the providing, the protecting. If stress can kill a baby or cause a baby to either abort or cause a baby to change genders inside of a woman, that alone tells you that men and women are biologically different. We handle stress different. We handle stress. Stress does not have a biological effect on us internally. Stress is like a challenge that we go head on to overcome because of our nature. So, in closing, gender transformation is not transgenderism. Cannot be, never will be. Nature has not selected man to transform gender. And transgenderism is a made-up word to justify a psychosis of gender dysphoria. Thank you very much, brothers. It is an honor to be a part of this awesome podcast.
All right, brothers.
Brother Thomas, would you like to go around the horn again just to see if somebody have a comment or question?
Please, definitely.
You hear that? Go around the horn.
Oh, you're funny.
All right, let's start with Brother E. Final questions or comment?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that, with the transformation. I'm kind of on the same tune as Brother Hembrick. You know, I'm tired of the propaganda on the TVs, you know, as far as the transgenders. You know, noticing on the TVs, you know, you're seeing them on these different TV shows, you know, in different places in society, whereas they're kind of forcing it on us. And, as far as the children, you know, seeing that displayed on the TV and in movies, you know, and newspapers and, you know, et cetera. I'm just, it doesn't bother me, their lifestyle, you know, as long as it's theirs, you know, kind of keep it private, you know. I don't understand while they're trying to push it up on society, you know, so viciously. That's about it.
Sir. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Brother Mashinda.
No, just thank you for your presentation, Brother Thomas. As usual, it's a pleasure.
Thank you, Brother Mashinda. And I just wanted to comment on Brother E. I totally agree. I always challenge people that practice these behaviors. I'm like, look, man, you don't hear heterosexual people up here saying I'm heterosexual. You know what I'm saying? And blasting it, you know, and if they want to normalize it, if that's their goal, then that would be the first step. It's not our business. It's not our business. You know what I'm saying? And but we do have, you know, the attire, which a lot of people are starting to, you know, come out and wear. So it's almost like any type of clothing. If I put something on that is kind of out there, it's going to attract a certain kind of attention. I'm welcoming a certain kind of attention. I'm letting people know this is what I am about. You know, it's like I like to wear 80s hip hop gear on Fridays. I want people to know that I am an 80s, you know, teenager. You know what I'm saying? That's my year, old school hip hop. So when I wear it, people are really like, you know, they like my style. But that's the impression I want to give. So we got to ask these people, what impression do you want to give? It's like, okay, heterosexuals don't go blasting everybody that they're heterosexual. So if you're like anti-sexual, that's your position. But then you wear clothing that blasts and tells everybody a certain thing, and you get a certain where you elicit a certain response, because that's what that kind of attire elicits. So you got to accept that too. Just like I would have to accept if somebody didn't like my 80s gear and somebody didn't respond nice to it, I'd have to accept it and move on. I'm like, I wouldn't, if I cared or didn't care, if I allowed it to stop me wearing it, or if I didn't allow it to stop me wearing it, it's up to me. But it was because I went out public and I wore it, and it got the certain response. I got a lot of good responses, but there could be a negative one. And it's just a response that I have to accept because of what I decided to put on. But I agree with you, Brother E. Don't try to force me. If you're dressed like an elephant, if you say you're an elephant because you put a snout on your nose and a tail on your behind, and you walking around and you saying you're an elephant, you're an elephant to you. You're just a human dressed up as an elephant to me. And try to kick it with other elephants. And I'm pretty sure you wouldn't know, you'd be able to find out real quick that you ain't an elephant. But I'm not supposed to entertain your psychosis. It's not my job to do that.
All right, Brother Thomas. Let me go to Brother Henry. Anything else?
Yeah, just briefly. Getting back to the fish and the becoming extinct and all of that. You know, nowadays on charter boats, like fish that are low in numbers, you know, they keep a count on every charter boat that goes out, comes back in. And certain years, they'll have a limit on certain fish because the numbers are low and because people have caught a whole lot of because they charted all the time. And then there's some. If you catch it and it's not large enough, you have to toss it back.
Right.
There's a lot of, matter of fact, some of the fish look like that clown fish. I've caught a many of them that were always itty bitty, had to throw them back in. But my second point is on the male and female ability to deal with stress and what stress does to the body. I've seen it on both sides. I don't think it's whatever your gender is, you know, determines how well, you know, you can deal with that. You always got exceptions to the rule.
Yes, sir.
I've raised a lot of dogs, and my females were much better than the males all the time. that's another point. Then on the female, when you're talking about the birth and the pregnancy and the women, you know, breastfeeding their kids, most of them won't do it. And that's maybe got a bunch of Similac babies running around here that don't know, you know, poo-poo from grits. The woman don't want the baby sucking on her, bringing her stuff down, but they don't mind us sucking on them, you know, while we doing it. Mind that. But you talk about breastfeeding, you'll go, oh, no, breast down, and they don't, you know, so it's a lot of that, a whole lot of that, more than what you know.
That's true.
And what was my last point here? As far as influence, you know, there's all kind of people. Oh, let me talk about this sister before I leave. I cannot mention her, you know, because we were talking about the stress level and the dominant. And, you know, there's many, many female warrior groups throughout time. In Europe, South America, you know, when the Moors were ruling Spain, there were all kind of female warrior groups that dealt with the warfare, because to a large degree, some of the men were weak and couldn't deal with the stress level. There's been some sisters who had to take over for some kings because they were too weak to really rule, and the sister would do it. And I just want to mention a Sister Mary, who was a stagecoach driver in the West, in the cowboy days in the West.
That's
and she
right.
Had a shotgun on the stagecoach. And she would go in any bar and bet any man, she could knock him out with one punch. They had this old movie, some old Hollywoodized, I forget what they call it, but they portrayed her in the movie, but it wasn't like her. This was some meek, petite looking woman, Mary. But Mary.
The Harder They Fall. I think it was called The Harder They Fall with Idris Elba was on there. He was like the.
They had a bunch of them, but they had.
Elba, but. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. You're right.
And then, and also on the gay side, whatever you want to call it, I remember when I was a kid, I used to see some feminine punks that would whoop somebody's behind. You know, they could handle them dogs. They might have been switching when they walking, but when they got in a confrontation, it was totally different.
That's true.
And last but not least, on those trying to influence others to become that way, same thing. Religions do the same thing. They try to influence you when they talk to you, trying to, you know, persuade you to their line of thinking and all of that. So that goes on both sides. And I'm gonna leave it at that. All right, yes, bro. This
Thank you.
Good discussion. Appreciate it. And you guys have a good evening.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Brother Hembry. Professor Ra.
When a thing was in the note, in juvenile hall, they got a thing they call Fifi. And that they put, get a sock and put lotion or some type of ointment in, and they masturbate. And then sometimes they say, you do me, I'll do you. When you masturbate by yourself, is that a form of homosexuality?
Well, it's I've heard that. I've heard that some people consider it, depending on, you know, who it is. Some people consider that I've heard the argument. In my position, it depends. I mean, I was married. Sometimes me and the queen did some stuff that was foreplay. She was present, I was present. You chronically do it by yourself. I don't know. I can't really call it, because like sometimes you know.
Well, it's a male making another male. You're a male and you're making yourself feel good.
That's anti-sexual. That's gay. That's communal masturbation. That's somebody touching your.
And well, you're doing it yourself.
So if you're touching yourself, it depends. Because like if you're psychologically touching yourself and you're gay, you know, or you're talking, or you're touching yourself and you're like watching a movie of a female. You know what I'm saying? I think it's a mental thing. I think it's psychological. I think, like, what's your motivation? You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's called stimulation, and it's called urge, sexual urge, and things of this nature. But my point to you is that, mm-hmm. you know, social regulations of behavior, there's always a purpose for it. And people create those purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to grow your community, you develop rules of that, you know, everybody got to be heterosexual because we need more people. And anybody that don't do that, you know, you can be ostracized or even killed or beat. The other thing is that, you know, when you're in social isolation or you're on a long trip, long boat trip, and it's just men, that's what they said about these so-called explorers. They all come back in love with each other. They went on trips and wasn't no women with them. You know, either they made sex to the animal or they made sex to each other.
Especially
young people. Now, older people, you know, you lose that desire, you lose that flame. But the only thing I'm trying to say is that nature is nature. And to me, there's always been gay people. Now, the transgender thing is one in which, you know, they try to get an operation and change their sexual organ, much like the fish that does it naturally. You understand? So it's a complex issue. It's not one in which it's how you want to define it and how you want to deal with it. But to me, I'm not a bedroom watcher. You know, I ain't going around trying to say who I saw you with a dude, or I saw you with another woman. What's happening here? I saw you going in the gay bar. You know, look. You know, I'm in the middle of a struggle. I ain't got time to sit down with you and say, man, you're hurting the race. You know, because you in, and most of it's white and black, and you know, man, you know, it's just a very complex issue. But anyway, thanks for the presentation.
Yes, sir, and I thank you for your comments as well. You know, it's
complex.
It's pretty. My whole purpose, though, like what Brother Messenger, it's about truth. It's about making sure, like, I'm tired of the propagation. I'm tired of the propaganda. I'm tired of people trying to force things on our children in school to accept something that they have decided to do privately. But now they're using public policy to force people to think a certain way about a certain thing that has nothing to do with them whatsoever.
Yeah, you know, they use the concept of tolerance, teaching them tolerance and all that stuff, and don't get, you know, don't bully people that's different and all that.
Yeah, it's a bogus effort to shadow it, to cover up the real intention, because My daughter was being taught sex ed in school, and they gave me curriculum. They gave the parents curriculum ahead of time to review it, to see if it was okay. And I saw a chapter, a section of the PowerPoint that had to do with straight up all of the letters, LGBT, BK, you know, ZP, ZIA, you know, IA, and it was like teaching them to be, like what you said, sympathetic, understanding, and accepting. I said, this is bogus. I said, this needs to be, I forbid my daughter to participate in this section of sex ed because it belongs to the parent.
Wait, instead of, I agree with you because all they have to do is say, don't beat up no human being. That would include all the ones.
Yeah, it's upbringing. It's in the house. We teach them not to bully, but to teach our children, instead of teaching them that these actions cause the spread of STD, AIDS, and gonorrhea. See, that's what I did research and wrote them a letter and said, all of these different sexualities in the World Health Organization database says that it is the main cause of STDs that spread amongst teens and young adults. I said, are you teaching them that? Because if you're not teaching them that, I want my daughter removed from this section so I can teach her that these things will increase the chance that you'll become infertile from infection of an STD, that you can get AIDS, that you can infect other people. You know what I'm saying? That you could become a cesspool of dirty blood and disease. So what they did was they excommunicated the whole section. Because it was like a charter school at a church. And I was like, good. But that was just me. This is what they're trying to propagate. Be accepting, non-bullying. My daughter don't bully. Like you said, Professor Rob, our children, we teach them to respect everybody, don't bully anybody. So that's GP, that's general, you know, procedure. But to teach them to be sympathetic and even consider questioning your gender prior to you even liking the opposite sex is ridiculous.
Yeah, man, we used to go to parties and sometimes the girls would dance with the girl. Threw me out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, then now they got dudes dancing with dudes. And they call it grooving or something.
Mm-hmm. Something.
It's a different, you know, it's the evolution of life and exposure. There's so many, like I said, it's just a very complex situation. And so anyway.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, family. I really, really appreciate the opportunity to share some of my thoughts and research. Thank you for your comments, your questions, thank you for everything. Thank you, Brother Rashaki, for the opportunity. Thank you, Brother Baba Ra, Brother E, Brother Mashinda, Brother Henrik. Thank you very much. Love all y'all, brothers.
Sante Sam.
Now, I appreciate you coming on, and it's scholarly information. And we're not here to offend anybody, but we're going to give the information as we study it, and people are, like yourself, Brother Thomas, bringing expertise information, and people, they could look at it and learn from it and carry on with their life. I do know this, that the color construct system that we live in thrives off of keeping people at odds with each other and keeping people confused about what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
and how they're putting it out, which contributes to their dominance and preservation of inhumanity. So we very interesting topic, and it was excellent the way you laid it out, and I appreciate it. So thank you very much for bringing this information to us. So next week, we got Dr. Ife Jai coming back. She's a professor, and she's very acclimated in the hip-hop culture and rap. Let me show everybody the previous podcast we did with her. And I did have it up at one point. So let me grab it. There it is. All right, let me share that. And because some people may want to go and look at that podcast, like I know Brother E, you're fairly new to our podcast, and I'm glad you show up. But this young lady had a very interesting podcast. It was back on January 18th this year. And I encourage you to check it out. And a very interesting young lady, too. And she's a professor. So looking forward to that. The topic is Street Sankofa.
That's deep.
Yeah, so she'll be on next week. Looking forward to that. And Professor Ra, what we have next week?
Cliff. Reparations with Cliff.
Brother Cliff Pruitt. Okay. Mm-hmm. Next week on Tuesday. We're on Tuesdays now. So I want to say we're going to take our pause, each one teach one, in Conscious Corner. Everybody have a good evening. Thank you for coming. Mm-hmm.